My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. Could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Patriots. And today is Tuesday, April 23rd in the year 2024. I'm still in Ogden, Utah. I'll be leaving here in a couple of hours, heading up to Pendleton, Oregon today. The puppies are sleeping deeply on the grass out in the backyard. They had a long and difficult night chewing on bully sticks and chomping on each other's ears as they barked at the demons that tried to come in. And they have now kept everybody safe, and they are exhausted. It's a hard life, definitely a hard life. And today's, they will have another difficult journey of sitting in the back of the Jeep in their padded and fully equipped backseat kennel with all of their toys and a nice padded bed, where they will have to suffer through a long day of travel with multiple stops at Love's truck stops to get out and run around and bark at little dachshunds like they did yesterday. A dachshund is a very deadly animal, if you didn't know, and it takes two Tibetan mastiffs to keep you safe when there are dachshunds around. So anyway, they're adorable. They're growing well, and growing is the key. I swear, Ezekiel now, the boy is getting up another. I think he's up 8 to 10 pounds since we got him. He's just getting big. And Nika's not far behind. She's obviously, as a female, she's a little bit smaller. She'll probably grow to be a good 20 pounds less than Ezekiel. But Ezekiel's got big bones, and she has she's very athletic, spry. She's very quick. And she has a way, even though she's a bit smaller, that no matter what happens, she will put Ezekiel down hard and remind him that I may be a girl, but I can kick your tail anytime I want. And she does it regularly. It's pretty good. So she's adorable. And we'll get some pictures up. And I'm going to start putting up some good videos of them once I get back. It's just been a little hectic to try to put all that together on the trip. And time is pretty precious when you're traveling like this. It's really changed a lot of my perspective on travel. Because today's a long day. We're doing about 7 hours of travel, which combined with stops is going to put us close to 11 hours today. So it is going to be a long day. But they are, it definitely changes your way of doing things. Love's truck stops and their in fenced in areas are the bomb. I took them on a walk yesterday at a rest stop, and that works fine. And we walked up quite a long trail that was out there for the dogs. And that works fine until on the way back. And that's when they decide that brother and sister are going to start fighting and doing their wrestling thing. So when you're trying to walk down a hill and you're having two 35 to 45 pound engines running on each arm, trying to keep them from playing, I'm going to wrestle you to the ground. It's a workout, let's say it that way. And by the end of the day, I don't even think I need CrossFit anymore. I think I've just got two dogs and just walk them and I'll be fine. And just walk them together and I guarantee you'll be fine. Patriots, we are in a pretty interesting time, obviously. And it's important to take good care of your wealth. That's a given. There's a lot going on in that space. Obviously, the banking system is fragile. They're forcing us into a compliance of a new system. And your investment wealth is at risk if it's still in that category of investment wealth in paper and fiat currency. That would mean anything in your 401k or IRA. It is important to get things backed with precious metals. And that's not just my opinion, but it's a professional opinion because it's the one thing that over a long period of time shows major stability in the midst of crisis and financial turbulence. Birch Gold is the place to get hold of. They're a great group. So all you have to do is text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S to 989898. And so just text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S to 989898. Birch Gold are the professionals in setting up your retirement accounts for precious metals-backed retirement accounts. They have all the knowledge. And so when you text that number, you're going to get a free information packet. You just need to read through it. And once you read through it, get informed and then give them a call and set up an appointment and have a conversation. It's really good. So Birch Gold Group is who you're getting hold of. They're going to help guide you through. If you have an existing IRA or 401k, they'll transfer that over at no additional charge to you. They're also great for giving you advice on setting up precious metals in various forms, in addition to setting up a IRA or 401k for retirement in precious metals. So take advantage of it. They're a great group to deal with. They've been around with us now for about 18 months. They've done a fantastic job of serving Bard's Nation. Very happy to have them on as a sponsor. So again, Birch Gold Group, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. In the midst of everything that's going on, and there's a lot of insanity going on, we continue to look at where our world is going, and it is a bit bizarre, but there is something that has begun to happen this season unexpectedly, and that is people are now refusing to pay taxes, which is probably one of the most positive motions I have seen. It also explains why DHS's memo came out and identified non-taxpaying public as enemies of the state. Take a listen to this piece.
I can't believe this is happening. People are refusing to file their taxes. For the first time in history, people have banded together and they're just flat out canceling appointments with CPAs, with H&R Block, and just people who prepare taxes, or if they do their own taxes, they're just not filing. There's tons of videos of CPAs and accountants saying, hey, does anyone else have a bunch of cancellations suddenly for this year for tax season? Even my people who do my taxes, they were saying, hey, there's been tons of cancellations. What is going on? Well, last year, a lot of videos went viral of people asking other people, let's band together and not file and pay our taxes, because they knew that they were going to owe money. And lo and behold, this year, 2024, when people started showing their testimony saying, hey, I'm actually owing money for the first time. I'm broke, like broke. I'm not going to be able to afford my bills, because they would use the tax money to pay their bills. So now people, don't want to file at all, and they're canceling their appointments with H&R Block. They're not doing Intuit TurboTax. They're not going with CPAs or accountants, all because they do not want to pay their taxes. People have banded together and they stopped filing. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, we know what's going on. People are literally fed up with the way the government is operating. And this is a great sign, which is a good indication of the level of awakening in our public and the absolute disgust with the functioning of our government, which is nothing more than rogue at this point in time. There is nothing in our government that says that they are against us more than this recent issue that they did by waiving passing the Ukrainian funding bill and then waving those flags on the House floor, waving Ukrainian flags on the House floor. Take a listen to this piece.
Look at these ass clowns waving another country's flag on the House floor. Remember this, whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Yeah, we have it completely, like I said, a rogue government. And it's not just rogue government. I said this last night, and I really mean this. We have a mass of idiots in this country that have found a way to get their voice out and to take power within the system. As a general rule, we refer to this as the collective left or liberal mindset, but they're communists and socialists that hate this nation and want to do everything they can to destroy it. Here's a headline from Great Gateway Pundit. It reads, illegal immigrant advocacy group in Denver says 6 months of free food and housing is not enough. Offensive and slap in the face to illegals coming across the border. It is beyond my understanding, truly, what these people are thinking is going to happen, because I guarantee you every one of these fools that is now advocating, most of them are young, and so we have to give them a little bit of latitude to understand that they're young and dumb and that they are highly energized through a sort of politicized education system that is teaching them how to be advocates, not how to be intelligent. And so these people get behind these policies led by certain handlers, and these handlers are usually at some way or another, if they've come from NGOs, if they're NGOs, they typically come from the State Department, and if they've worked in the State Department, they've rubbed shoulders with or been trained by the CIA. That's just a connection. And these people want to destroy the United States as we know it. The whole basis is that they want to achieve power at the end of the day for their party, which is the Democrat Party, which is another name for a socialist communist movement. But the problem is it's not limited to just the Republican Party, or me and the Democrat Party. Tucker points this out very well. We are dealing with a uniparty, and this is the game we're playing, and unfortunately we're being channeled once again to make a singular vote. I mean, if you're going to vote for Trump, you're going to vote Republican. You're not going to be able to vote anything else. If you vote for Kennedy, he is independent, but he's backed by Rockefellers, and he's backed by big dark money that has no good for the country. So we're really kind of channeling again these two bipolar extremes, as one party is taken over by a new guard and the other party is going to be taken over by a new guard, which will be Kennedy's. And we're going to be ending up with the same face and the same games, just with different personalities involved. Take a listen to this think piece from Tucker.
But the bottom line is, over time, people who don't live in Washington, don't know the complexities of the process, who aren't impressed by Johnson's claim, I've only got a one-seat majority. I have to do this. People are looking at this cold, with just the big facts available, will start to notice that the priorities of one party mirror the priorities of the other party. And they may ask themselves two questions. First, who's got my priorities top of mind? And second, why even bother with the Republican Party if all they're going to do is ratify what Joe Biden wants? And they may ask that question really soon. Let's hope they do.
I agree, and it's a question that needs to be asked and driven home, because we are literally in a time right now when we're not necessarily improving politically to the level that we would like to see. And this is where, again, the solution is not going to be rooted in a political fix. Politics, by definition, is corrupt. It's laden with criminal mindsets. And even if they start out, most anyway, if they start out with good intentions, they end up being swept up into this place of power and money and influence. those are very narcotic type addictions that unfortunately are the ills and of men, and they fall to them. And they're offered all sorts of opportunities to do good. And I think in a lot of times they think that they're doing good without really giving a reason of conscience of what they're doing at all. And much of this comes from the lack of a moral base in our nation. Our nation has fallen from a nation that was rooted in the pulpit. And I know this is an ongoing theme, but it has to be. It has to be the ongoing theme because ultimately we aren't hearing it enough in the news. We talk about Trump's trial. Okay, Trump's trial. What is going on in Trump's trial? Trump's trial is a rigged system. They're going after Trump. I say, honestly, that the best thing that could possibly happen is that Trump gets arrested and thrown in jail. That makes people cringe. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think the nation needs to see the true face of evil. And whether or not that's part of the orchestrated game that they're doing with Trump, or whether it's legitimate that they're persecuting, which is difficult to say at this point in time. Nonetheless, the country needs to witness the hand of this and needs to be so moved to such a point that they have to start choosing. We're in a time right now that we are, as much as I do believe that most of the ills of the threats of war, the rumors of war will pass and that we'll end up with Trump and presidency, we're going to be put through a gauntlet that's going to really test us and try us. And ultimately, I don't think it's going to be in 2024. I don't think we're going to see the eruptions, but I do think we're going to see them in 2025. And much of that is going to be brought about by a country that is still deeply divided. Trump is an interesting figure in history. He is a person that, regardless of what he does, he provokes response. So I'll give you an example. Trump said that after the Supreme Court issue, and then we went into the elections, that we lost many seats because people pushed too hard on abortion. And on top of that, the Christians didn't do anything. It was a very provocative statement, but there was a lot of truth in that statement. A lot of truth in the sense that when we won we overturned Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court, the pulpit again was silent. There wasn't activism on the ground, and the left was active, and instead we ended up with states passing extreme abortion rules, like abortion after birth. And tying into that with other issues of LGBTQ, including guaranteed mutilation surgeries for children and guarantees for the protection of pedophiles. The Christians were silent. And the Christians as a body of this nation are massive. They have a huge voting bloc. They're significant. It's what Trump refers to as the evangelicals. But the evangelical pulpit as a collective whole is broken. It doesn't want to step into the advocacy. It steps back from it. It's like it's not supposed to be there. And yet that's exactly where this trench fight was in the very beginning of our nation. So we're into a time when whatever Trump says ends up being provocative. And that doesn't make him a unifier. It makes him a divider. There's advantages to that, especially when you're trying to wake up a country that is deep in the cult of a satanic ruling elite. But nonetheless, it is also very dangerous because in a time like this, when we have literally idiots walking around here voting and people that are so dumb to the system. And I can hear already voices coming to me and say, you need to give grace to these people. I'm not going to give grace, not on this one. People have a choice of free will of what to do. And people are willfully wanting to not believe. This gets back to Romans 1:18-32, where they're choosing openly to serve and worship the creature, not the creator. And they're choosing to walk in this reprobate mindset. And they're not wanting to step in and change. When you tell somebody that, oh, by the way, you're a homosexual or as a lesbian, that is not of God. Their counter is, well, Jesus loves everybody. Well, yeah, except that you're living in sin. And so there has to be a correction here. And so then they go about their whole diatribe of trying to just deconstruct, prove that Jesus didn't exist, destroy the Bible, flush it out the toilet, and then go to some nonsense of like some new age melding of Hinduism, Buddhism, and whatever other nonsense they put in there. Astrology, looking at the stars, which is all worship of the fallen. We are in a crisis in our nation, which is a moral crisis. It is a bankrupted nation of morality that is not willing to face the truth of where we truly are. And where we are right now as a nation is, even though we have a strong and rising remnant, which is 100% necessary and of our time, the problem that we have as a nation is that there's too many people unwilling to see. And I think that some of that is by God's hand. To live through those things that which you wish to be, he will allow you to be that once again, worshiping the creature rather than creator. Where does that leave us? It leaves us in a point where we continue to go down this road, and there is a dividing point that we can't escape. And this year is going to be interesting, and I don't think the explosive moment is going to hit till after 2024, the elections. I do, like I said, I do feel pretty strongly that Trump will be president regardless. But it is not going to be one of healing. It's going to be one of division, and it's going to be one of intensity, and it's going to be one of people exploding because their minds literally are not capable of processing. And there's nothing more dangerous than somebody who is poorly educated, has no cognitive processes past a very narrow way of thinking, and worse, has been programmed and trained on a way of thinking that is just based on lies, but they believe that it's the holy truth. Those are very volatile, very dangerous people. And those are the people that become emotionally unstable. Those are the people that we call, that we witness having TDS. These are people that they always need to have some sort of like emotional huggy toy, or they need to have timeout spaces. This is the world that they have lived in and willfully accept. It's the world where racism is normal now. All of these things create lines of division and hatred that foment and rot and fester into explosive reactions. So with all that said, it's important that we stay very vigilant in our approaches on many levels. The county by county framework is one of those things that we haven't been talking a lot about lately. I'm going to push a lot of effort into it in the coming weeks because it's really the core of us regaining a measure of control and sovereignty in our nation. But I do believe that we're looking at, in the coming years, a significant divide in our country, a divide that is not going to be one that's going to be easy to endure. Because there's going to be those that have the leverage financially and the voice politically that are much better organized and activated than the conservative base in our nation. The conservative base in our nation tends to be very apathetic. And for whatever reason, even though they're willfully will tell you that we are believers in Jesus, that translates to, I should take no action. That is not of Jesus. That's not of God. And that is the problem that we have, is that message is also being replicated in the church. And though I mentioned this before, I mean, just like this men's camp in Missouri, or men's conference in Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, led by Reverend or Pastor John Lindell, what type of sickness is it when you open a conference with a male stripper? And it's not just John Lindell, who is obviously found some sort of attraction and allure to that idea of having a male stripper slide down a pole and put a sword down his throat, which is just a erotically suggestive and massively provocative in its whole presence in trying to raise up men in the presence of God. It also speaks very darkly to the audience of men that received that presentation and didn't walk out. We are lacking the strength of our male population in this nation, and it's something that, quite frankly, if we do not rectify that, we are going to be in a significant problem in our nation, a significant problem. I played this piece last night. I want to play it here, the importance of the role of men in a nation.
When men read their Bibles, when men go to church, when men love their wives, when men cherish their wives, when men love their children, when men disciple their children, societies flourish. When men ignore their Bibles, don't go to church, when men abuse their wives, when men ignore their children, when men can't keep it in their pants and control their sexuality, society is ravaged. Men, you make decisions with your sexuality, with your money, with your job, with your career, with your time, and all of those decisions have consequences. And many times your decisions punish your family. It's just statistically proven. When men read their Bibles, when men go to church, their family comes with them. When men flip off God, their families do the same. We want women to be loved, cherished, honored, protected, and to flourish. And that doesn't happen when men act like bullies. Men are the key to the spiritual health of a family, period.
And a nation, which is very critical. So it's something, if there's any effort that we really need to dig into, it is the raising up of men. And not the men like this guy who's down in, who's a gay Spanish politician with the left-wing governing party. And this is crazy. He resigns after photos circulate showing him eating his own feces. Yeah, you heard me say it. It's literally a headline. The sickness of this is unbelievable. He's a gay Spanish municipal councilor, has resigned from his position after photos were publicized of him eating his own excrement as part of a scat fetish. You can't make this up. These are who these people are. And this is the sickness that has just permeated into our own society. Now, back to the Trump piece. I mean, one of the problems that we have with this whole issue, and again, it gets back to the living idiocy of our time and the brainwashing that is so deep. The jurors themselves are a reflection of what we're faced with. And I want to go back to real briefly my experience back in 2017 when I was arrested and accused of stealing money from my own nonprofit. I was given an opportunity, either take the plea deal or take a speedy trial. And the assessment that I made that there was no possible way in Denver that I would ever get a fair trial because the media bias was so strong and people were of that city would simply decide that way. You would not get a fair trial. And so I took the plea deal, which in the end was the right path and it was as God led. And in the end, all that charges were not only dismissed, but the case was sealed. But I want to give you an indication or an example of this with the Trump trial, the same problem that occurs with these woke, righteous, fake righteous people that literally don't understand their role as citizens in a jury trial of what their objective is of being objective and not being biased. Take a listen to this.
Can you share your opinion of the former president and why you felt that you could be unbiased?
I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with someone who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. I have a sister who was adopted from China, and the comments he made about China when he was running for president made her very anxious, and therefore made me angry. Policies he has supported that regard women and reproductive health that I do not agree with. And I think all of that needs to be addressed.
All of that needs to be addressed. And where is that going to be addressed? Is that going to be addressed in the trial? A trial over something that has nothing to do with any of those things? This is the problem with our left. Everything she mentioned was emotional and notional. There wasn't anything in their effect, simply stating that, you know, I'm not a fan, okay? I'm not a fan of Biden either. And so then you go to the next level. So how did you handle COVID? I thought it was abysmal. Give me specifics. What did he do wrong? What defines abysmal? Because he was trying to get people, he was locking down the country. It stopped the flights because he didn't give you all of the immediate facts and tell you we're going to roll out 15 vaccines to shoot you in your arm, which we did anyway, and you're probably an idiot enough that you took all of them so far. This is the people that have become so expectant that the state will solve their problems for them that, you know, the only thing missing is that they aren't getting their backside wiped after they go to the bathroom. This is a weakened, worthless group of people in this country that have either to be saved or they need to go away. Because there's no place in a republic that seeks to be accountable before the throne. This is the harshness of it. And again, we hear these echoes of this saying, well, this is very harsh, is coming from a Christian mindset. No, actually what it is very Old Testament. And it's very much a reminder that Jesus flipped tables and took out a whip. Because there's a point in this where, yes, I understand that we need to have a heart to try to bring them to God. But at the same time, these people are voting and running us down into an abyss of satanic cultural worship. They all do it, even though they don't realize that they're complicit in that walk. So somewhere along the way, we have to draw a hard line. This woman talks about, you know, the idea that Trump did things against China and it made my adopted sister uneasy or anxious. So I'm mad about that. Okay, how about if you just educate your sister and get her to get out of her anger, get her into a martial arts program and get her to be strong. And when you're controlling your anger, why don't you try praying to Jesus and then maybe get in a martial arts program as well and go beat your anger out on a bag. People are expecting to be coddled and handled to such an absolute degree that they, when things don't go right, they are literally in a place where it's like, I'm not happy because you're not making me happy. That's not the way a government system works. And the fact is that there has to be facts in discussing these things. We just can't throw out comments without having some substance behind it. Sure, I'm not pleased at how President Trump handled the vaccine issue. I can talk about it on multiple levels, whether it was engineered in a certain direction or not. I don't like the fact he promoted the vaccine, and I'm very specific about that. So I can say there's some objections I have, but if I'm asked to come and sit on a trial, none of those things have any relevance to the trial. His trial is about money that he paid, and what they are saying is hush money, which is even crazier because they're saying that he violated campaign rules because he didn't use his campaign money for it. It was perfectly his right. Now, I don't agree with the idea of paying hush money. I just think it's dirty politics all the way around. And it's one of those things that I think that opens up a Pandora's box of a lot of other questions that have to be asked, which is one I always say is a man of that power and that stature does not have a perfectly cleansed background. That has been a very intentionally cleansed background to prepare him for this age. And unfortunately, it reminds me too much of Obama, where every time we started to dig into things about him, like his fake birth certificate, people died, illegal issues came up and blocked it. So we don't have a real view of who the person is. But I, you know, that's Obama was worshipped as Trump was worshipped, only it was on the opposite sides. So there has to be some reason here. And the only way we find reason and wisdom is through God. And I'm openly admitting that I am not claiming these views today, to be very clear. My intolerance for some of these people is of God. But I am saying that there has to be an understanding that we have to start drawing a hard line. And perhaps my position is a little extreme. But the fact of the matter is that if we don't start educating a world to understand what's going on, we are all going to suffer a consequence. And part of that education is to understand that we are not of this world. We are accountable for what happens in this world. But we will suffer the hand of wrath, all of us, because nations will be judged. And they will be judged by people like her doing their thing and ignoring God as we stand by and just let it happen. We have to engage it. And we have to get involved with it. It's really just an incredibly crazy, crazy world we live in. And so speaking of Obama, former senior policy advisor to Obama White House was charged with child sex offenses in a British court. Raman Rami Shai, 46, coordinated the U.S. strategy to combat terrorists. A former senior policy advisor to the Obama administration has appeared in court in Britain charged with child sex offenses. Rahman Rami Shai, 46, who coordinated the U.S. government's strategy to combat terrorists from Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, is accused of arranging the commission of a child sex offense, court documents reveal. He is also charged with possession of two Category C indecent images of children and possessing a prohibited image of a child. Shai, a U.S. citizen who lives in New Jersey, worked for the White House under President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was arrested in late February by Bedfordshire police. He was charged the following day and appeared at Luton Crown Court via video link from HMP Bedford on Friday wearing a gray prison-issued tracksuit. He was not asked to enter a plea at any of the charges and was remanded in custody ahead of a hearing in June. All good in the White House, all good in the way things work and flow, obviously, because they're all pedophiles and they all work there and they all use their office to exploit children and get access to children in a most horrific way. So this is, again, a reflection of the ruling elite between eating scat and diddling kids. These are sick, sick people. And when you have people parroting these senseless comments with no substance, they're just part of the same problem. Silence and just parroting comments without any sort of cognitive tie to it and asking the hard questions, you become complicit in the crime, and they are. Now, the question that's being circulated now is, when will the red heifer be sacrificed in 2024? It was supposed to have been done. There was rumors it was going to happen this week. We haven't seen that. The red heifer sacrifice, deeply rooted in the Torah and the Bible, holds a unique place in Jewish theology. According to ancient texts, the ritual involves the sacrifice of a red heifer that meets stringent criteria. It must be without blemish, pray for gray hairs, and entirely red, without a single non-red hair. The ashes of this sacrifice are then used in a purification ritual essential for individuals seeking to access sacred spaces or engage in certain religious practices. Recent developments have brought the anticipation surrounding the ritual to the forefront religious discourse. Reports suggest that preparations are underway for the sacrifice to take place possibly as early as Passover 2024. And so it'll be interesting to see how this pans out. And it is going to be something to watch very closely too, because ultimately we're going to be seeing something that will shock the world. And it will. Take a listen to this from a Hardeen Zionist MP, Yitzhak Pinduras, who says the third temple will be constructed soon at the site of Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied Jerusalem. So it says, this is all in Hebrew, sorry. This is a discussion that they were having, and ultimately the idea that they're going to tear down that mosque is kind of the last straw in trying to provoke a regional war. I'm sure they will try. One of the issues that obviously we are as a world are going to have to face is that Israel and its ruling elite, tied with other elements of mafioso type ruling elites, the Black Pope, the intelligence agencies, and even the Han Dynasty, which is kind of they are an extremist fascist dynasty, all tied through the Council of 300 and the Council of Nine. Ultimately, this is all about managing the world, and they're all part of the same cult in one way or another. The higher they go up, the more they are of the same. Much of this is about the Masonic ties. But at the core of all of this is this trickle-down of polluting people's minds, bringing in the darkness so that we as people become disconnected from the value and the beauty and precious gift of children. And with that, with that happening, then we are seeing that you see the rise of, as you break the family, you ruin men with pornography, you see the most horrific things happening. Here's a case in point. This is Corina Smith, who has been charged with the murder of her husband. But let's ask the question why. The comment under the article was, "Vigilantism is still illegal. We have laws for a reason. This woman should be fined $100 and forced to pick up garbage by the side of the road for at least an hour for murdering her husband." So what actually happened? She found her husband. She discovered and found out that he had been sexually abusing their children. So she took matters in her own hand. She poured a pot of boiling water mixed with sugar on her husband while he slept. He died. That saved us a lot of court time. That's all I can say. And she should get an award for what she did. This is a time now that we're starting to see more and more of this. We're seeing the depth of depravity because the veil that has prevented us from seeing it is falling. And that's a positive thing. As difficult as it is to stomach much of this, it is a positive thing. And we're starting to see with it the ability for people and the willingness of people to step in and do the right thing, even though it may not be the right thing in terms of the law. Now, in more insanity that's moving forward in this robotic technological age, I'm sure nothing could possibly go wrong with this innovation. A throw flame, it's a company called Throw Flame, unveils a robot dog, which they call Therminator, that has a flamethrower attached to the top of it. I'm sure there would be no possible way that would ever be used against people. And I'm sure there's nothing that could possibly go wrong with that whole situation. We are in a crazy world. And with this comes crazy ideas. And unfortunately, people are not living sanely. They're looking for opportunities to make money, to innovate things. They think in terms, they're very myopic. Again, read Romans 1:18-32. It's a very, very good passage, set of passages in there in the Bible that really frame a lot of where our world is. And pray into that, because we need to be praying into this place of breaking these strongholds and freeing people's minds and opening their eyes to what is going on. And some of that may be that we need to pray into just having a judgment on this land. The things that are happening here are unprecedented. We are seeing a mass influx. Nobody's talking about it, but the influx of the illegals across our border is off the chain. We're seeing these communities rising up now that are completely not of America. We have, there were some images that came out today of the Mall of America in Minneapolis, which is completely overrun by and ransacked by Muslim youth. This is the new world that they want us to be part of. This is the world where They just captured a Haitian guy who has already been charged with double murder. He's here illegally. It is a world where there is constant and perpetual violence, because through violence there is fear. Through fear there's a willingness to accept more government control. Through government control you get the Great Reset, which is people will give up everything to be safe again, and rather than taking their measures in their own hands. And with that, then you add to that something very important, which is the idea that they want to control our movement. And that's that kind of next level thing. So it's not only do they want to control what you say, but they want to control how far you can go. Canada is now making cars with eye monitors and kill switches. So not only are they going to be able to gain your biometrics and probably use biometrics to access the vehicle, but they will be able to turn your vehicle off at any time if they determine that you're using too much of your energy. That's all coming here as well. They've mandated that, I believe, for all vehicles after 2025 or 2027 in the United States. The bigger question we have to keep asking is why? Why is this such an urgent to get so much control over the people? And there, we can draw many conclusions, but I think there's probably a couple that are worthy of looking. There is obviously still remains something rather significant on the horizon that, if once discovered, they're afraid that we will not have any loyalty to them. That can be interpreted everything from the return of Christ to something like a comet, which is another theory that will literally devastate a lot of the earth. Once people come to the realization that there is a greater moment happening that the government will not be there to help us for, people will lose interest in the ruling elite, and the ruling elite then will have no relevance. And so everything they're trying to do is to keep us distracted. And the only way we're going to find that path through is through prayer. But they don't want us even distracted in there. So the encouragement here again is, in all these headlines and titles, use them as just a benchmark of the indication of the level of depravity that's around us, but keep yourself deep in prayer to find your way through this. It's kind of like looking at a whole hedge of blackberries. If you walk in and pay attention to it, there's usually a way through it without getting stuck too much. But if you just charge into it, you're going to keep me in a miserable pain. They want us not finding our way through. They want us stuck in this simulated matrix of hell that they've created. And we need to be in the vigilance of prayer to tear down their strongholds and can make it impossible for them to have that sort of control. And again, that's where even the prayers of the few can move mountains. And it's a significant consideration as we move forward. And kind of a last note today, which is deeply disturbing. There is a French explorer who has discovered a daycare center for children deep in an underground tunnel after walking nearly 2 miles in this underground tunnel. This is insane. And it literally is, it's in stone. It's been built deep underground, and it has toys. The thing was used not too long ago, and this is being used for children. The question again is who was behind this, and the other part of this is literally like, where are the children, right? Always the same question. We have to get back to the value of the children. And if we don't as a world, then we're not of God. Because this is the most valued asset we have, the most valued gift he gives us, and everything we do around it has to be focused on saving the children. It has to be. And these people are running unaccountable to this. I would love to tell you that you hear a lot of these rumblings about there's underground subterranean warfare going on, children are being freed. Those are nice niceties to talk about and dream about, and we can theorize about that all day, but the fact of the matter is there's still a prolific and horrific problem of child sex trafficking going on. The evidence of that is 400,000 children are missing that came across our border. And at the core of this, we have a nation of men that consume more child pornography than any other nation in the world. That's the brokenness at the core of it. So if anything, we need to be praying against that sort of demonic stronghold over men's hearts to break it and free them from that addiction, because that addiction is ruining our nation. It's dark, it's real, and we have to overcome it. But that's the only way through. And as they say, the only way out is through. And we're going to have to go through this trial by fire, whatever that looks like. God's timing is not our timing. This could be something that happens in months. It could be something that happens over years. Nonetheless, humanity has to continue and be allowed to pivot in a soft manner rather than an explosive manner. And that's where our faith is so powerful, because as we bring people to the understanding of what Jesus died for and what it is to walk with him, what it is to live in a place where we seek the fivefold ministry, where we execute every element of the fivefold ministry and trust in God to guide us. This is a powerful time. And it's a time that we can raise up people with the witness of the living miracles of God. That's where so much of our healing prayers are important, because those testimonies transform people. We become churches, in a sense, built on testimonies, not just churches built on doctrine. And that's important. We have to strive to that. And that's something I say very boldly and very definitively, because if we do not, we're slipping away. And even talking to Pastor Travis Graham, for him to say the reason that the church is slipping is because it's trying too hard to incorporate evil into its walls to show what good is, to try to attract people in. He's dead on. We have to get back to the fundamentals. And when we do, we start to see how powerful it is. The show that airs, and it will air Thursday at 8:30, on our Rumble channel. I think that's 8:30 Eastern time. And that's we're co-broadcasting it, and that's little Leah and Abigail. I want you to take a look at that program. Follow them as well on Rumble. And I say this because you're seeing what happens when two young people, little Leah is 15, Abigail 16, they weren't given any sort of cream pudding version of Christianity. They weren't given the glitz and the smoke machines and the skinny jeans. They were given scripture. They were given the energized power of healing in prayer, of prophetic, of apostolic, of deliverance, and even of raising the dead. And they're on fire for it. It's fundamentally that simple. And when we get to the fundamentals of what scripture is about and the fire that it brings to us, there's nothing more exciting in the world. But as one pastor said at one point, anybody that teaches, that makes the scripture boring, it should be a crime. And I agree, because there is so much excitement within the word, and it empowers us in such a great way. We have to bring that into the world. And as we do, so much of this that we witness out here, it begins to crumble. And that's the beauty of this, is we don't need more ammo. We need more swords of the spirit to slay what's going on out here, and to free people in their minds and their hearts to return to God. Let's pray. And Patriots, we're going to open today with a prayer that was sent this morning. Nikki sent it over to me. And this is from Jim F. My 75-year-old mom was informed today that she has a large mass in one of her breasts. The biopsy is Thursday. This is in addition to her just learning she needs two surgeries on her knee. Prayers would be greatly appreciated. Her name is Susan, and she's a great prayer warrior. Thank you. Father God, I'm just going to lift up Jim F.'s mother, and we're just going to wrap her in a hedge of protection and just anchor that in the blood of Christ, infinitely up and infinitely down. Any sort of demonic influence around her, we're going to break off, we're going to bind, we're going to cast to the feet of Jesus. So, Father, we're just going to breathe the breath of Holy Spirit into her heart. Holy Spirit to run from head to toe and toe to head. And in the name of Jesus and the authorities given to us, we declare total healing over Jim F.'s mom. We declare healing and the removal of this breast as we pray upon this lump on her breast is going to be diminished, sized down, and it's going to be non-existent by Thursday. When they go to do the biopsy, they're not going to find anything. Again, Father, we're declaring and asking in this moment a miracle from the standards of miracle, a true sense of power of healing and prayer that would be witnessed by the people in the hospitals, that will not only speak to you as the sole surgeon, but evil shake the very core of what they believe and understand to be healing. And Father, for her knee, we're just going to pray for total healing and rehabilitation, taking away the pain, reestablishing the joint, reestablishing all of the tissues in there to make a proper functioning and to allow her to freedom of mobility as she was designed. So Father, we pray a blessing over Jim F.'s mother, and we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Total healing. Total healing. So Father God, I'm just going to pray today for our nation. And we're going to pray specifically towards the addictions of pornography. And so, Father, as we pray into the men of this nation and the women, since it is one of the fastest growing markets of pornography, unfortunately, we're just praying in that this addiction will leave such a rancid stain on the heart. And it's almost like we are literally praying in a holy curse upon people that as they watch it, it becomes almost like they have to throw up. They can no longer see it. They can no longer stand, tolerate it. They become physically and mentally ill by the presence of this pornography. This, we want to put a bitter seed within everything that they view in the pornographic realm that provokes a very physical and very unsettling response within their bodies. We want them to physically feel, Father, that there is nothing that they can't come near this and to be repulsed by this. And so we're praying this within every piece of this exploited material for children. We want the bitter pill of what it represents to be bitter within the person. And that the only salvation through this is to put their eyes on Jesus and through that to repent. So, Father, we're praying on this in this morning. They were just praying on this and putting the heart of a into their heart of each person, the bitterness of what this represents, the pain of every child that has suffered, the agony that they suffer by being exploited, the abuse that they've suffered through. We want that to be embodied in every image. And so we pray into every image, every experience. It is so painful, so unsettling, so distraught, so rotting within them that literally it provokes physical illness of levels of vomiting and inability to function. It's a measure of judgment, Father. And so we're asking for that. But it's a judgment that leaves room for salvation. And so with that, we also pray that those doors and understandings of salvation will be opened wide. That they can choose, like all things, they can choose to walk that bitter path. And if they choose to ignore that and worship the creature rather than the creator, then they will be sent to death. They know this. But this is an opportunity, Father, that we're praying into the salvation of these people. To break this addiction with a bitter pill. And in such an extreme bitter pill to literally that they are left with only one avenue of choice. Or it's actually two, but it's one to ignore you or one to embrace you. And in that choice, to let it be known that they can relieve that burden if they step into that. And then let those doors be open, whoever they encounter, to seek that repentance, that salvation through Christ. And we pray these things and declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Elijah. It's an interesting story. There's a prophet in 1 Kings. And so is Elisha, both of them. It's an unusual thing to walk in to consider that we can, I believe, that we have the ability to curse evil and to use it as a way to move people away from these addictions or consumptions that they have around the entire idea that somehow evil is good and a benefit for themselves. It's a strange world that we live in, but it is that world. Last piece before we go today.
Hey, warrior of God, I have been asked to remind you that you are not alone in your fight against the enemy. The devil is constantly seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have been equipped with the full armor of God to stand firm against his attacks. So be ready to fight and put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't let the devil intimidate you or make you feel defeated, for greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Rise up in your identity as a child of God, and walk in the victory that has already been won for you. Remember, you are a warrior of God, and with his strength and power, you can overcome anything the enemy throws your way.
Amen. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, tonight's show could be posted later. Pay attention to the time. It kind of depends on when I get into Pendleton. It's going to be a long day. But until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.